So this is September the 18th, a gorgeous, glorious day here in Sedona. And based on what I picked up on the National Weather Report, it is many, many places in the continental United States. And we, at least, at the very least, we have no raging storms going and no great events of social unrest. So this is a great picnic day, one of those days we can just rest on the lounge chair, which I did this morning with my hummingbird family, which is becoming a rather sweet and interesting phenomena in my life. Boy, are they teaching me things about that little species and how it has its way of getting along with each other. Just amazing how different groups of people and different species of life have worked out their agreements. And these agreements, of course, become their reality. And to them, that's the way life should be. Well, that brings us to the threshold of what we want to talk about more today. I am going to just introduce our topic for the day, and then I'm going to step back and let a few of you talk, because it's time we kind of caught up with what's happening in one another's lives and give you a chance to say hello to each other. I've been doing a lot of monologuing lately, but the subjects have been very important, and again, we continue on a very important subject, and that is basically, what do we want for our life? How can we pray? How can we even set up affirmative plans and move toward them if we don't even know what we want? We're constantly complaining because we don't get what we want. But when I talk to most people in counseling sessions, I find that they really don't know what they want. Big problem, getting to the end point without first connecting the source point. So what we're going to really talk about today is a subject that probably will take us maybe two or three Sundays to touch on, because it's a big one, and I don't want to move too fast through this. I want to make sure you really get it. And that is the importance of correlating source points and endpoints. This is a little bit like what I've been telling you about in previous blessing calls, about not praying from your hurt, not praying from your scarcity or praying from your sense of failure, but praying from your sense of potential. Because what you pray from is what you ultimately are praying for. And so we send mixed signals to God. God not wanting to interfere with our free will gives us a little bit of everything we pray for, which is what we pray from. I hope that makes sense. That sounds like almost like a riddle, but it is the riddle of life, and it's why we don't always get what we want. Is because when we form our plans about life, we figure into our plans all the problems that we think we have in getting there, but that's because we're focused upon endpoints rather than source points. So we want to, first of all, start, you know, when your shoelaces are all, you pulled your shoe off and you didn't untie the laces, and then they sat in the closet and they got all matted. Well, you can't even get your foot in the shoe until you first untangle the shoelaces, and you got to sit there. You put the shoe in your lap, and you start untangling the knots because you put a triple knot in to make sure that your shoelaces wouldn't get untangled. So now you got to get here. You got to put it up in your lap, and it takes like 5 minutes to untie all these double knots and triple knots you put in your shoelaces so they wouldn't they wouldn't come loose while you were walking in them. Well, sometimes we just have to do that with our life. We got to put it back in our lap and look at all the tangled knots we put there, making sure our shoelace wouldn't get untangled. And sure as the world, it didn't. But boy, it got really permanently tangled. Now we've got to get back to the source point. The source point is where the laces are just two laces there in our hand, and we can choose again how tight we wish to tie them, or in what notch we need to tie them, and whether we want to double tie them, or bow tie them, or what we want to do. So getting back to that source point is a very big part of getting back to the power of prayer, the power of affirmation, the power of discernment about what we really want in our life. And when I asked that question 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, is your life what you want? Boy, did I get some emails after that. That was a potent question. The reason it was potent is because you were on the other end of a lot of tangled up shoelaces. Now we got to get you back to the point where you've got the shoe in your lap, you're untangling the laces, and you're able to tie the knot the way you want it. Okay, it's a lot easier when you get back to source point. End point can be a very complicated thing because there are so many factors involved in end point decisions and how an end point comes to be and all the other people that are part of end point. And maybe the lack of resources for getting that endpoint to be what you want. And the fact that when you go into a restaurant, you order a dish and you think it's going to be one thing. And when it's served, it's something totally different. And you think, wow, this isn't what I thought I wanted. At least not what I thought I was going to get or what I thought I was ordering. We've all had that. And that's the discrepancy between source point and endpoint. Okay. Now that I've kind of laid that out, that's what we're going to have for our message today. And this is a very, very big part of this course that I'm offering called The Energy of Life. It's a fabulous course, and I am so staggered with what I'm finding out in my research information. Just like I Googled on, I know what Yeshua says about this, but just for fun, I'm going to see what all the other scientists in the world say about energy. So I Googled definition of energy. Wouldn't you think that would be a simple thing to Google? And wouldn't you think out of all the Nobel Prize winning scientists in the world, we would have some various opinions about what energy is? I come up with these answers. In Wikipedia, it's like one short paragraph that basically comes to the end point decision of, well, we really don't know what energy is. So we finally just decide that energy is what gets work done. Huh? Well, no wonder we're all workaholics. That's what we think energy is what gets work done. So then I look down at the other results of my query, all these other leading scientists. Well, we really don't know what energy is. It's just what gets work done in the universe from a particle level to the macro level. And I'm going, what? It's just what gets work done? No wonder we're not having any improvement in our energy systems in the world. We're still working with petroleum. Holy cow! And I go, scientist after scientist after scientist, same basic answer. So I think, well, okay, well, Einstein had this great theorem, E equals MC squared. Doesn't that tell us what energy is? So I Google that, I put that in, and it's like, well, E equals MC squared tells us what it takes to transfer energy from one endpoint to another. In other words, what it takes to convert it from from a fluid source into mass and mass back into another fluid source back into another endpoint. In other words, E equals MC squared just tells us what it takes to transfer energy from one endpoint to another. It still doesn't get to source point. What the heck is energy? And it is just mind-boggling how, okay, so then I Google source point of energy, and all I get are these theological explanations of, well, God is the source point of energy. Well, I don't disagree with that, but my heavens, somewhere in between, God being the source point of energy, we need to have an understanding of how we're the source point of energy in our life. Otherwise, we're on this endpoint, decaying, derivative chain of effects that's playing out, and slowly we're dying, and slowly energy is being consumed. What the heck is going on? We're not even allowed to know something about the energy of life when it's the very thing that keeps us going. So that's how I've clarified how important it is for us to look at the difference between source points and end points. We all have them. And, well, I could get right into my talk, but I just wanted to take a minute to really let you know we have only a few seats left in this course. Please, please, please enroll in it. This is one course, I promise you, is not going to cover anything else you have ever studied. I'm telling you, I have Googled, I have searched, I have looked for all the points of this course. I can't find it anywhere. And it brings together in a very practical way some of what seems like esoteric information in Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua, but it's really not. It's very practical, like everyday information we all need to know how to use. We all need to understand better. And we all need to not be turning away and say, well, oh, that's just God's business. And the scientists have it all figured out anyway. Boy, am I here to tell you they don't have it figured out. And God in his palace didn't mean to keep it all just held up there in faraway places where we couldn't find it. Listen, if we're going to have a better world, if we're going to have a better life, we need to know more about how to get to the source points of our life. And that's what I want to talk about. But first of all, okay, this is your time. If you want to say something, if you want to ask a question, let me know how you're doing. If you want to direct this call towards something particularly important to you, it's 5-star. You're on, and here we've got somebody from area code 203. Hi.
Hey.
You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. This is TJ from Miami.
Hi, Jay.
Hey. All right. I had a question. I've been doing a lot of studying, and it seems like from the research I've been doing, there's a lot of negative energy coming from, shall I say, a reptilian ETs that are trying to stop people from becoming more enlightened. And I was wondering if you had any information regarding this.
Well, I don't have any information on that particular species. Whether it's an animal or an ET species, I can't give you information on that, but I can use your question to turn back to exactly the importance of this call, and that is whether it's all of the social unrest we're finding in the world, whether it's people doing riots in the streets or people manipulating our currency, or whether it's people out of work. People have struggling with health issues, is all of their attention is on end point results. The fact is, if we were all on our source point energy, destructive forces of this sort would have absolutely no effect on us whatsoever. All of the parasitical manipulative forces in the world are affecting us because we have succumbed to end point. So, in other words, we're focusing upon end point problems of not having enough, not having the answers, not being able to get along, wondering what our next step is, and feeling that, hey, there are no answers. So we make ourselves vulnerable to intrusions of that sort. And we have to, the way we cure out our vulnerability to being manipulated, whether by extraterrestrial forces or simply manipulative forces of the government, is we return back to where we can connect with the source of our life. So, sorry, I don't have anything more specific to give you, Jay, but I would tell you, rather than worry about the forces that might may be manipulating you, put your attention on the forces that can supply you with more invulnerability. But anyway, thank you for your question. That may be something that's affecting other people as well. Let's see if we have any other calls. Anyone else coming on the call? Yes, we do. We have someone here from area code 641, and you're on.
Yes, Glenda. This is Betty Ann. Can you hear me?
Hi, Betty.
I thought I understood not to pray from a place of lack. And I had a great desire to have eye surgery done, but I wanted my intention to be the correct intention. Because for over 20 years, I have been walking around with a white cane, not able to do much of anything.
Uh-huh.
So I sat down and I prayed to Yeshua, and I imagined walking into a library, scanning the bookshelves, taking home a book, and having great joy in reading or writing a letter or preparing food in the kitchen, just making it very simple like that.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
But it didn't work out that way at all. So I don't understand the lack or not lack anymore.
What happened, Betty Ann?
Well, they took the cataracts off. They said they did, and put in new lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And now I still have cataracts, and I have double vision. I had a pair of glasses prepared, but I can't wear them walking down the stairs or seeing the sidewalk under me. I can see at a distance, and I can sit down and see a little bit reading. But I'm not getting the kind of easy vision. In other words, I still have to not wear them preparing vegetables. I can't use them, as I say, down the stairs. I can't see the sidewalk. I can see at a distance, or very carefully not moving my head much to read a little bit. But it's still not satisfying, and I have still cataracts again to be removed. So I don't know, maybe my intention did come from lack. I can't tell the difference.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you have some improvement?
Some, yes.
Okay. Can you put your attention on that little seed of improvement?
Oh, I have been. Yes, I have been. But when I really need to see, it's very frustrating. I can't read. I keep cutting myself because I can't see the cutting board. So I need three pairs of glasses, which is very difficult to do in an ordinary daytime.
Absolutely. Well, Betty Ann, we will hold you in our blessing today, especially for an improvement on that. And continue as you're doing. I cannot – don't blame yourself. Okay, if you start blaming yourself, that's again coming from an end point. You see, praying from lack, this is why I want to expand the subject, because praying from lack sometimes is unavoidable, because let's face it, when we're hurting, when we're in poor health, or we're very poor, and because we're very poor, we can't even afford the gasoline to go apply for a job. That lack does creep in, and it does affect our consciousness, and you can't blame yourself that some of it just simply will. And so that's why I'm changing the venue today. I want to get into the discussion between endpoint results and source point, because source point is where we find more of the answers that just come from a different place. So just bear with us. Bear with your own learning process. Bear with your faith. And be grateful for what you have. And we will add our blessings to you having a much more beneficial result on the next wave. Okay?
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And God bless you in all that you're seeking. And we have a caller from area code 805. I don't have a name, but you're on.
Hello. Yes, my name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Bless you, my dear. So I have a couple of thoughts, and I hope I can keep it really short. One being, when you talked about the source point, and when we talked about energy, my understanding would be that God is the source point, and supposedly, my understanding is you cannot destroy energy. So if God has created the universe and infused the world with the energy of life, that our spirit matter or the energy that drives us is never destroyed. So it's like eternal.
And that's true.
And
that's true. But it doesn't mean that we also cannot connect with the source point in our own life. We don't have to just connect with it at an endpoint phenomena.
Right, and that the source would be love. Love, which we would be the highest form of energy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Love.
That's
and
true.
Then,
you're certainly getting there.
And then also, as a matter of praying, where we have our will, but then the divine will would maybe supersede, as if we were a child asking a parent, you know, can I go to Disneyland? We may or may not get the right answer. Maybe we can go to some local park, but not Disneyland. So sometimes that we don't see the higher purpose, that our will may be given to us, something may be given, but maybe it's not exactly what we think. And to just keep in faith that the divine will is there. So,
absolutely, absolutely, and that's part of us returning to a source point where we can be, shall we say, a partner with God.
Yes.
In holding to and cherishing the source point. Rather than having, you see, all of our disappointments come because we get stuck on endpoints that didn't turn out the way we wanted them to be.
Yes.
And if we could be more in a partnering state with God, how much easier it would be to accept change of plans, shall we say, or change of modalities and understand that there's probably still some meaning in that we haven't finished with. So thank you for that, Nancy, and a good contribution. And I'm going to take, I think we have one more question from someone in area code 310, and you're on.
Hello. Glenda, I just wondered if, can you hear me?
Yes, I
Hello?
Can.
Oh, great. Could you possibly explain more why smart meters are undesirable? You had made a comment about it, which was very helpful, and thank you for all your help, about a month ago. And you said something about your different appliances radiated some sort of radiation that was not a good thing. And I just wondered if you could go into this more, because this is something that will give us some sort of basis on which to make our arguments against our utility companies who are trying to put in these smart meters. And this affects the whole world, actually, because this is what they're trying to do everywhere.
Well, actually, would you send me an email?
Okay.
At our office, care@spiritus.org. I could go on and on and on in this session about smart meters, but that's not really why it's not really the topic of this. But the short story is it turns every appliance in your home to something the equivalent of a cell phone or a microwave. and it becomes a basis for putting your entire house on a metered grid. And so there's an invasion of privacy as well as the emission of waves, energy waves that are simply not healthy. There's a lot you can find about this online. And if you like, I will be glad to send you some links.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to, actually, that's ironically kind of a transition into what I want to do, getting back to source and endpoint, because these smart meters are just an endpoint way of intruding into our life and interfering with our ability to be a source point over how we use our appliances, how we determine how much energy we use, how we determine what we will have in our own homes. And there's a huge trend in the world right now to put everybody on an endpoint and to turn us into endpoint consumers, endpoint recipients of everything from overly processed food to smart meters to having to be having our lives monitored on worldwide GPS systems and so forth and so forth. So, and I think that it's a huge violation of the principles that we Americans founded our life on, which was to be in our personhood. Now, when I talk about personhood, I'm not talking about ego. I'm talking about the sovereignty we have been given by God to share with God a partnership over the source point of our life. We have been given free will. We've been given the ability to make choices about our life and to make determinations about our values, our priorities, and what we hold dear. And in order to expedite that, a certain amount of privacy is essential. Just think about how important it is. Let's just say if you get in a family argument, to just say, okay, time out, everybody. Let's each go to our own space and think about what we're saying. Think about what we brought into this argument. I'm going to my room for a little while. I'm going to chill out. Just the whole concept of chilling out. What do? Well, you return back to your own little private countenance, conscience, your own little private world. You recollect your feelings, your thoughts, and so forth. You return back, basically, to your source point of that discussion. Because what happened is the whole argument got heated because there was too much conflict on the end point of the discussion. It could have been a discussion about where we're going to live, where our child's going to college, how we're going to spend our vacation, how we're spending our money. It could be anything. It doesn't matter what the endpoint discussion is. We got locked into heated debates on the endpoint, and then all too often, one person in the family or in the group or in the company will just pull the bully routine and say, okay, I'm making the decision. This is what we're doing. This is the budget. This is what we're doing. And everybody else feels very diminished and locked into having to comply with that end point decision. Nobody really likes that. We don't feel good about that. You know, democracies were created not to be popularity contest over, okay, we all get together and we decide who's the most popular person in the country. We'll make that person the president of the United States. It was not what democracy was created to honor. It was created to honor the fact that we each can participate from a source point, sense of countenance, conscience, choice, determination, and contribution into the end point of what we then collectively live with. So now that's on a huge scale. That's on a big scale. We could take it to a big scale, an even bigger scale, and lose the relevance to our personal life. So let me get into something that's really, really close to me, close to my heart, that I think you can translate into what you do in your life and how it gets to your heart. As you know, in addition to being a compadre with Yeshua and a spokesperson for him and a minister and a spiritualist and someone who writes books, etc., and teaches classes, I also am an artist. I don't paint as much as I used to, but sometimes I get the yearning. I just have to paint. I want to paint. And I'll think to myself, okay, well, what do I want to paint? Now, it would be very easy living in a place like Sedona to go to an endpoint decision and say, oh, I'll go paint Oak Creek. Beautiful, beautiful. Or I'll paint Cathedral Rock. Or I'll pick another endpoint that's just a beautiful endpoint, and I'll paint it. And I could do that, and actually I've done that, and usually in the process of doing it, I run into problems because what I paint doesn't look like what I'm looking at, because there's something else going on inside me that's wanting to come out and change that endpoint into something that more resembles a source point. And this is what I always wind up helping beginning artists deal with, is the difference between source point and end point, because it's always typical of amateur artists or beginning artists or young artists that they'll go out and they'll try to paint a flower or a tree or a beautiful mountain or a beautiful scene. They want to capture that endpoint, and then they're disappointed that what they paint doesn't look like that endpoint. It doesn't result. Well, see, I know better. I'm a seasoned artist. I know that what's really wanting to come out is something from the source point. So recently I was wanting to paint a painting, and I thought, okay, what's in my heart? And I take a look at what's in my heart, and what's been going on for me a lot in the past few months was lots of reminiscences with my family and my youth and where I came from and my roots. And I was remembering life as a child and thinking about my grandmother a lot. Well, that didn't quite add up to a painting, but I knew that it was part of the source point, so I thought about other things. Well, as an artist, I've been really, really connected to the Impressionists, because I've been doing a lot of study about color and light and the vibrancy of color. I've been thinking a lot about consciousness and how consciousness and art work together to create the essence of what we see, and how light is part of that, and how it really comes from the light of my soul. And so I was putting together the recipe, and the recipe had to do with these things that were here at source point, not at end point, but at source point: light, color, the Impressionist, my heritage, my grandmother. And then I thought about, then all of a sudden it all came together in a childhood memory of my grandmother's garden. And there I was at source point. And I thought, okay, I'm doing something that will express the joy and the inspiration I felt at that source point in my life. Now, the result of that was the painting that you've probably seen from some of my mailings, My Grandmother's Garden. And I had no idea exactly what the end point would be. And it didn't matter, because I was coming from the joy of that source point. The joy being the love that I was, the energy I felt as a child, the energy that I was endowed with from my heritage and my birth, and the energy of inspiration I was gaining from the Impressionist painters, and the energy I was creating from the study of consciousness and how it would all come together. So every point of evolution in that painting was all about being at the source point of that painting, never once fixating on exactly how it would turn out. In other words, I gave the endpoint a certain amount of grace to be what it needed to be, given the fact that I was coming from the source point of what thrilled me, what inspired me, what turned me on, and what gave me that little moment in time where I could set aside a little time to paint and just enjoy the act of painting, in addition to my talent being a source point. So let's look at all the things that were the source point. Well, I was born with talent and years of cultivating it. I have certain affinities for painting and certain affinities for artists that have certain styles, and then this whole energetic reservoir of what I bring in from my childhood and what was thrilling me about being in my heart. Ultimately, in our life, our heart is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is our source point in our life. That's where we unite with God. It's in the kingdom of heaven where we share a partnership with God in creating the many, many endpoints of our life. And so it resulted in a painting that I just enjoy looking at every time I walk past it. It never disappoints me, and it's always different every single time I look at it, because it was never intended as an endpoint. It was an endpoint that emerged from living the source point. Now, if we could just do that in everything we do, we could find a beautiful correlation between source points and endpoints. And I think that's what Yeshua meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and from there all will be given. And we don't know always what the appropriate endpoint is. But here are the ingredients in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, we're a partner with God at bringing source point energy into our life. He described the kingdom of heaven as being like a little child. Well, that's what I did in that painting. He described the kingdom of heaven as being within ourselves, and he described that as being the love that we are. We could compare that to the parable of talents. Well, where is your talent? Where is your energy? What brings you energy in your life? I'm not talking about endpoint results. What brings energy for you? Where does your energy come from? Where does your passion come from? What turns you on? What inspires you? What gives you this preciousness that gives you that feeling of a few minutes ago I was very tired and now I'm full of life? Just thinking about it brings me life. Where is that for you? Okay, so that's what I mean when I mean pray from your source point. Pray from your source point and allow your source point to build the endpoint. We, just like we so often pray from lack, we pray from endpoints as if we know what the best endpoint is for our life. That's like the young painters I try to teach, or the Sunday painters that come to me and say, Glenda, teach me how to paint. And the first thing I have to do is, you tell me about what inspires you. I can't teach you how to paint that mountain. That mountain will teach you how to paint that mountain. You will teach you how to paint that mountain. What I can teach you is how to access your passion, how to hold a brush, how to access and develop your talent. Those things I can teach you. I can teach you about source point ability. I can't teach you how to get the end point that you're seeking. No one can. I can teach you how to find the source point that allows you to arrive at the end point you want. But be open. I'm telling you right now, be open, because God may have different, see, you're going to partner with God. Every time you go to source point, you're going to partner with God. And that endpoint may be different than what you envisioned. As you can see, this is a very, very big subject. And so we're going to be talking about this subject over the next few course of weeks in different ways. We'll come at it from different points so I can catch you by surprise and maybe push some of your buttons and get you to see things you haven't seen before. But the whole idea is to get you back to the kingdom of heaven from where your miracles come. And as Yeshua said, seek you first the kingdom of heaven. And so that's what we're going to do right now as we enter the blessing. Those of you who are new, please have your shoes and socks removed, your feet on the ground. Be in a seated position where you can call forth the kingdom of energy from the cosmos through the top of your head and the kingdom of energy from the earth through your feet. And have these forces meet in your heart, where you join these forces in your consciousness. Remember to put your mind over on the park bench. It has no power over the things that are about to fill your body. Your mind is a good servant. We honor it, we praise it, we bless it. But it's not up to this job. So be there, be with God, be in the kingdom of heaven. And I ask any blessing givers who would like to join me in this blessing to do so now. And if any blessing givers need a blessing, then just receive the blessing and allow this to fill you and give you a blessed week. Thank you all for being here. The conveyance of energy will happen for about 3 minutes. Then I will let you know when it's complete. And at that point, I want you to just go and recline and allow the energy to fill all aspects of your body, heart, soul, and being, and allow it to just fill you with the energy of life. So I'll see you all again next week, and I'm not going to talk anymore other than my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, friend to us all, Son of God, Master of all that is, and the one who has shown us how to be master with you from the source point of life, to get untangled from the endpoints that have disappointed us, that we still hold on to because we have grudges or grievances or senses of failure that we just can't let go of. Give us the strength to let go of those tangled areas and the patience to return back to the innocence of our heart and to the source point in which we are partners with God in being the love that we are, bringing fresh new energy of life that will bring answers we could not have seen at the tangled endpoints. We must first return to the heart of our being and allow more energy to emerge and be one with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit bathes us in fresh, new anointing power from the heart of God. We thank you for the blessing givers who are all here to lift us up, and we thank you, Yeshua, for being with us in all the days of our life, bringing us back always to our heart to remember who we really are. Amen. energy conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. God be with you. Much love from me. And I hope to hear from you again next week. Bye-bye.